Welcome to the 2016 WCHL Community Forum, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Our annual forum features Chapelboro's movers and shakers debating the big issues affecting our community and you. And it begins now.
Orange County is actively working to attract new business, retail, commercial, and manufacturing. We still have a reputation for not being as business-friendly as some of our neighboring counties, though, and not to take every opportunity to swing at the General Assembly today, but House Bill 2 probably isn't helping on a national level. So, what is Orange County's business climate? What kind of climate do we want to have, and what do we do to eliminate any gaps between the ideal and the reality? That's our topic this hour. We're talking Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County's business climate. I'm Aaron Keck. I'll be your moderator again. And I'm joined by five distinguished panelists, or four right now. We'll be joined by Aaron Nelson, the president of the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce here shortly. He's on his way. But joining us right now is Chapel Hill Economic Development Director Dwight Bassett. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Orange County Economic Development Director Steve Brantley. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Aaron.
Executive Director of the Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, Meg McGurk. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Executive Director is better than Director, right?
Oh, so, well, yes,
yeah,
thank
of course.
You. Thank
and,
you.
And from Launch Chapel Hill and the UNC Center for Entrepreneurial Studies, Dina Rousset. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And again, we'll be joined by Aaron Nelson of the Chamber of Commerce here shortly. Before, as we begin, if you're listening out there and you've got a question for the panelists, at any time you can send them to us via Twitter. Use the hashtag WCHLForum, and we'll try to get your comments and questions on the air. Let's start with good news. I'm just going to go around the table and just take 30 seconds or a minute and give me a piece of good news about economic development here in Orange County, something that's cool, something that's happening, something that's exciting. Dwight Bassett.
So in the last few years, we've attracted a couple of technology companies that are growing, Youth Digital and Three Birds Marketing. Last year, we were able to attract Armacell for their U.S. headquarters to Chapel Hill. For the first time in a really long time, we have space approved that we can compete when people want to locate in Chapel Hill. It's not built yet. We still have a very low office vacancy rate, a very low retail vacancy rate, and we want to see that new space built so that we can compete in the future. But it's a much different time than it has been, and I think it's an exciting time for our future.
Steve Brantley.
Well, if you'll recall, 18 to 24 months ago, the community of Hillsboro received notice that Southern Seasons, a very esteemed company there with a warehouse operation, was going to relocate. Unfortunately, we couldn't find a location for them in Orange County, and they went to Alamance County. But we promptly began to market that empty warehouse, 90,000 square foot warehouse that sits back behind the Hillsboro Barbecue Restaurant. And about a month ago, we were fortunate to see the local music company, Yep Rock Records, which originally started in Carrboro, now based in Hillsboro, purchase the building. They're going to relocate at least 40 jobs there, add another 10 or 12 jobs over time, and then relocate their warehouse business in there. And they're looking at a May 23rd ribbon-cutting ceremony. So we were happy to assist someone new coming in.
Dina Rousset.
So over at Launch Chapel Hill, I'm pleased to say we've had 55 companies come through the program so far. Most of those are still in existence, raising funding, they're adding jobs, and most excitingly, within the next 10 days or so, we'll have two companies moving out right up the road from us, one directly across the street and one on Martin Luther King, Academic Benchmarking and QuantWorks. Both companies that started at Launch and are now adding jobs and renting office space in Chapel Hill.
And staying in Chapel Hill.
Staying in Chapel Hill.
Awesome. Meg McGurk?
Well, I think downtown we have the Carolina Square development that's happening, which is the largest redevelopment section of downtown that has happened since University Square was developed. And I think in the coming week and weeks, we're going to hear some exciting news about some new businesses that are potentially going to locate there. And then certainly we have the AC Marriott Hotel that is going to be breaking ground this summer on Rosemary Street. So, and we also have a tremendous amount of property owners that are currently investing in their buildings. It's not just about finding the new business to come in, but it's about putting the money into their current building to make it the most attractive and most viable for tenants.
So we're talking about the business climate for Orange County, and there's so many different directions that we can go. And again, if you're listening out there, hashtag WCHL Forum, send us a tweet if you have a question. Bunch of different areas that we could delve into. I want to begin by talking about, unfortunately Aaron Nelson is not here to speak to it, but at his Chamber of the Community Report a couple of weeks ago, one of the things he talked about was something called a retail gap. This is the difference between the amount of money that Orange County residents spend on retail when they go out and spend their money versus the amount of money that gets spent on retail and in retail businesses here in Orange County. There is a retail gap in a number of the counties surrounding us. Orange County's is significantly bigger. The amount of money that we spend is about twice as much as the amount of money that gets spent in Chapel Hill. Is that something that's problematic, or is that something that we can live with? Business climate and economic development can go a bunch of different directions. Is this something that we should be looking to address?
So I think it's a really important question, and it's not just for retail shopping. It's for livability. It's for quality of life. And it's an issue we've been trying to address for years. In the last 24 months, council's approved almost 1 million new square feet of retail to be built in Chapel Hill, and I think that shows our interest in trying to capture some of that gap that we've been missing. And there's continued pressure from our edges, and so I think that we still have an opportunity to recapture some of that market.
What is your job in terms of attracting businesses, retail businesses, to come to Chapel Hill?
So right now we don't have the space, so there's not a lot we can do except continue our marketing efforts to keep people top of mind. There are businesses that inquire, like Carolina Square or Caraway Village on Eubanks Road, and others that will be coming in the future that we talk to on a regular basis. But until they start to turn dirt, it's hard for them to make their letter of intent or sign a lease to open in those locations. But we're out there in the market trying to keep our name up front.
So you'll be even busier down the road, right?
Yes, we will.
All right. Other thoughts on the retail gap? Steve Brantley?
Well, to illustrate the point, Orange County is the number one county in North Carolina in terms of per capita income. We're a very wealthy community. But if you look at another ratio maintained by the North Carolina Department of Revenue, it is retail sales tax captured per capita. And in those measures, Orange County ranks between 78th and 82nd out of 100 counties. And so what that means is a substantial amount of the consumer spending of Orange County wealth is occurring outside Orange County. These would be places like South Point Mall in Durham County, Tanger Mall in Alamance County. And so not only are the retail jobs located in those locations, but also the property tax of those facilities are located in those locations. And then furthermore, it's the retail sales tax that is not flowing back to Orange County and our communities, but instead is flowing to those counties, and that enables those counties to help fund their expenditures in schools and so forth.
And sort of
what we've got to address.
And sort of the same question to you the follow-up question to you that I asked to Dwight, which is, what is your role in terms of attracting retail business to Orange County generally?
Well, while the county is working to put utilities into the three economic development districts, which were primarily along the interstate, at the moment, I would say the most immediate retail activity is in the three towns. And so there are areas where the county is working in tandem with Hillsborough, Carrboro, and Chapel Hill in a support mode. And as you look around, you can see a number of planned and ongoing retail facilities.
We're joined now by Aaron Nelson, president of the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. So welcome, first
Thanks,
of all.
Thanks, Aaron. And let me say to everybody out there who heard Aaron repeat again, the amount of people that are listening, judged by how many people texted me and called me to let me know I wasn't here. Sorry, I was driving. I had a meeting with a major employer in the southern part of our community.
You didn't get those texts until after you got out of the car, though, right?
No, I was. It is now legal. I was talking. I took a phone call.
Okay.
No, I appreciate you bringing up the retail sales gap. And we see that the key areas in general merchandise, the basic goods and services, $230 million Orange County residents spend on that basic stuff outside of Orange County. For scale, a Walmart might be $55 million. That's four and a half Walmarts worth of sales. It's a lot. And so we can add a bunch of retail and still have some challenges, but we should absolutely get at that. So we actually have a gap in every single retail category except food service and drinking places. So we're holding our own there, but I'm excited to see that many of the new developments do have retail options.
If we separated food services and drinking places, would it just be the drinking places?
No, I think we're doing all right both on food service and drinking. Right. So I think they'd stand well on their own as well as a merged group.
You mentioned the gap is four Walmarts, essentially. So is that something that Orange County can eliminate, or is the gap too large for that based on what we're seeking in terms of economic development?
For me, I think we absolutely can. So I said Walmart, so I should say Costco's or Target's or whatever your preferred shopping location is. But we can make some major gains on that. Our community has made some choices. We know that the rural buffer is one of them to concentrate development in the southern part of the county. But recently, the town, Chapel Hill and Carborough, identified locations for development, the Ephesus Fordham District, the Obi Creek area, north of town at the edge. So the trade we're going to make is we're not going to do it along every transit corridor so that we look like US 1 or Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh. But if we allow it to happen densely in these districts that we've picked, we can make major gains on that gap.
Follow-ups, Meg McGurk?
You said, can we live with it? Can we live with that retail gap? No, we cannot live with it. For the economic sustainability of our community, to be able to attract new investment, to be able to attract people here, we can't accept that we all just go across the border to shop. And it's the people around this table, it's the town of Chapel Hill, it's the university that are all working to address that we need to create the spaces for the retail to happen here in the county, and we need to then find the businesses that can come here. And then we also have to support the businesses that are here. It's about retaining the local businesses that we have, and that's something that we focus on quite a bit for our downtown merchants.
Just a quick, I'm sorry, Aaron. The shift that we need to make is so small, and downtown is one of those districts to do it. If we had a 1% behavior change, not spend 1% more, just spend 1% differently, it funds four teachers. It funds two police officers. That's 1%, just a 1% behavior change. And so this whole buy local movement, we got to put our money where our house is. Maybe that'll be our put your money where your house is slogan.
So even that's food and drink services. If you're going to go 100 times a year and eat in Durham,
correct.
You know, one time in Chapel Hill, right?
And so we're just going to have to demand it. We just got a pet store. That's great. Now we just need some women's clothing, and we need some shoes, and we need sports equipment. We need a place that in a soccer town you can buy cleats for your kids. And though people don't like to say it, I mean, you can buy bongo drums, but sometimes not socks. And so we need to make sure that we've got the services that we need in our community.
You can't play bongos without socks. You can buy socks in Chapel Hill. There's just like
You can. But we need a place to buy a basketball in Basketball City.
Yeah. So what are the biggest challenges for those of us who are actively engaged in attracting, and Meg mentioned retaining, which is equally important, retail businesses, and we'll talk about commercial and manufacturing as well, and that'll bring Dina back into the conversation. But for those of us who are actively engaged in attracting retail businesses to Orange County, what's the biggest challenge?
Space.
Dwight Bassett?
Space. If you look at comparable space in Chapel Hill, we've got about 2.4 million square feet of office, for example. There's 50 million square feet of office space in the triangle. If you looked at a per capita demand in Chapel Hill, we should have 5 million square feet of office. And we just can't compete as we grow businesses coming out of launch or people that want to locate here. We have a very difficult time competing in the market. Because we just don't, our vacancy rates are so low, and we have not had new office space on the market since Castilla at Matamont. So we're looking forward to some of that new space, both for retail and office, comes on the market.
Steve Brantley, agree?
I do, and I think that if you go back a few years when you had mentioned the reputation for whether we were open for business or not, I personally don't encounter negative attitudes towards Orange County, but what I do encounter would be individuals that just are not aware of what we have, even if it's our quality of life or business parks and so forth. And so it's creating these relationships with people that will begin to think of us as an investment location is what we're working on.
Do you see that changing when you took the job in the first place? Did you see people with that sort of reputation in their heads that you don't see anymore, or has it always been like that?
I think that's true. If I think back more, not in the last 5 years, but 20 years ago, 15 years ago, I heard that firsthand. But now what I encounter would be just someone that has never been used to considering Orange County, and now they are. And that could be a developer in the Research Triangle Park. It could be companies that previously just had assumptions of looking at Durham and Wake County. And so now, as we put what I'd call product online, these would be buildings, retail space, light manufacturing space, such as our economic development districts, we're now becoming an option. So it's getting these folks used to considering us as a location.
Aaron and Meg, follow-ups?
I agree with that. The product on the market is critical, and we are now poised. I mean, we're on the cusp of this renaissance, this new opportunity for great retail spaces. The town has approved, both in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, a bunch of product. It is coming. Now, to tell the story, build the relationships on why they ought to be here, we will compete against the fact that they wanted to be here earlier, and so they're just outside of market.
That's right.
And so some of that is they don't want to have a store 5 minutes away from their other store. But there are enough folks out there to go get, and some folks that might relocate into market. You asked about challenges. Signage has been one historically, but is being addressed. The town did major modifications to its sign ordinance for retail. We were the only mall in America without a giant sign that said what the stores were. We may now be the only movie theater without a marquee that tells you what's playing. But we are working on those things as well. The town is working on the sign ordinance. Just last night I was in a meeting on that. Bobby from the Downtown Partnership. And it's a new day. There's a renewed interest in helping business thrive. It's a great time to be doing business in Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
You know, this whole time I never noticed the lack of a marquee at Silver Spot, but you're right. That's not
in
there.
In fact, it just says Silver Spot. It doesn't even say Silver Spot Cinema.
Cinemas, you have to know, yeah.
So they are adjusting that. They're going to add cinema, and we are talking about some unique ways to bring a marquee.
Meg?
Yeah, I mean, to follow up what Aaron said with the challenges, like with the signage, I think it's predictability, that businesses and developers did not have predictability when they were looking at Orange County as a market, and now there is much more predictability because of the work that, you know, Steve and Dwight and Annette and Carrboro have been doing to make that process more predictable. It's working on the signage, it's working on the infrastructure, it's working on the development review process, and it, all of those kinds of things together are making it easier for businesses to come here.
And that's Annette Stone, Carrboro Economic Development Director. Let's get Dina Rousseau back in the conversation. You've been waiting patiently, and you've got like 3 pages of notes, which I've been eavesdropping on, and I'll pick up some of those questions as well if you don't. But we talked about the biggest challenges to attracting retail, but also we got to talk about biggest challenges to attracting commercial business and manufacturing business. And you are with Launch. You're also with the Center for Entrepreneurial Studies. There is so much excitement and vibrancy coming out of UNC. What's the challenge to keeping it here?
So a big challenge to keeping the startups here is, one, not only does that lack of retail create an economic gap, but it creates a quality of life gap. So millennials especially, which are the folks that are starting many of these companies coming out of Chapel Hill, they want to walk to restaurants and shops and places to drink. They can get that in our neighboring downtowns. They cannot currently get that in Chapel Hill. So thrilled to see some space coming online, thrilled to see more walkable area for them. So I think that's a big part of it. It's also flexibility of space. So at present, the spaces that are empty in downtown Chapel Hill, it's long leases. They need renovations, which a startup is not able to do. They need those very flexible terms.
For downtown development and looking at and Mega Dwight, the point that Dina raised about the livability and walkability of Chapel Hill is a really good one. Downtown Chapel Hill is walkable if you happen to live right in downtown Chapel Hill. No grocery store yet, but one may apparently rumored to be coming. Can we get confirmation on that, or two of them?
No one's making eye contact.
Aaron Nelson says two.
I was just bidding.
Or he's holding up the peace sign either way.
Maybe two.
But the rest of Chapel Hill isn't necessarily walkable in the same way. So what is Chapel Hill doing, both downtown and the rest of the community, to get to that point where it is a livable place as well, or more so? Dwight first.
So the intent of the Ephesus Fordham district was to create another urban district that was an alternate to downtown. And I think that we're on a path, and I think with the public improvements and the pedestrian and bike improvements that we'll see there, that district can evolve and become a place that we can capture millennial workers, a different kind of work, and a different kind of place to live, work, and play. But the good thing is, I think that Glen Lennox, Obie Creek, and even what was formerly known as the Edge, Caraway Village on Eubanks Road, they'll be all walkable within the context of themselves. The bigger problem that we have to work on longer term is how we interconnect all of these things back together so that you can get not just walkable, bikeable in your district, but that district is connected to other districts and to other things. So I think we're on a good path. We're making progress, and I think our planning has taken a turn to better think about that walkability, and it'll be different in the future.
Aaron Nelson, you had a point?
I think we have to think of some of our spaces differently. Some folks have lamented, you know, if only we had blight. If only we had just gone totally in the dumper, then you would have all this empty warehouse space you then buy up and make interesting. But that's what happened to Chapel Hill, so we're going to have to find ours differently. But we do have some of those spaces. The space by University Mall between sort of between Ephesus, Fordham, and downtown is 1960s, one-story, $15 a square foot, Class B-minus space. The stuff being born out of launch can be there as inexpensively as it can be anywhere else. And that district is going to become much more interesting, much more alive. The distance, if you were to walk from Motor Co. to the Durham Bulls in downtown Durham, is a longer distance than if you were to come from that sort of Estes and Franklin area up to downtown. It's 5 minutes away from downtown. Great opportunities for startups, spin-offs that are looking for that Class B, inexpensive stuff. We just haven't been thinking of that. We're going to focus on downtown, but then what is that one ring out where you can still find the amenities? And I think it's just down the hill of Franklin Street, and that space bounded by Franklin and University Mall is prime for redevelopment. And one day those will be taller buildings that will be more expensive, but right now it's the perfect place for the things that are being born through our incubation efforts.
Dina, you were nodding your head at that.
No, I agree. I mean, the space down there is ripe. For opportunity, the challenge is, again, can we have the landlords do these very flexible leases where a company can move in without having to go through all the expense of upfitting that space?
We've
and that's what they're getting in Durham right now.
Partnerships mm-hmm. between
yeah.
nonprofits.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We've been focusing on Chapel Hill. We've got a few minutes left, but I want to pull the camera back and look at Orange County in general. So over to Steve Brantley. Challenges to attracting commercial and manufacturing in the county at large?
Certainly. Well, it takes time to put utilities, infrastructure in our economic development district. The county commissioners have approved phase one of a water sewer line that was put in back in 2011 and 12, and our Morinaga Japanese Candy Company coincidentally connected to that. More recently, the county commissioners voted to spend funds to extend phase two of water and sewer through the Buckhorn Economic Development District, but it still takes 15, 18 months to bid and build and construct utilities, perhaps bore under the interstate to serve both north and south properties there. So it does take time, but in the meantime, we're marketing these properties, and I'm really excited that in the past 15 months, our office has received approximately 70 different inquiries by various commercial and clean, light industrial, desirable manufacturing projects and other projects. We're getting them from the state, from Duke Energy, from realtors, from law firms, people who I call project generators. And it doesn't mean that any of them are coming, but it means that we've now had 70 invitations to submit sites or buildings, such as the Yeprock Records purchase of the warehouse in Hillsboro. And if I think back to 2011, we had less than five or six inquiries. So we've significantly increased the interest, and we're also working with various prospects that visit.
In the couple minutes we got left before we take our first break, you mentioned, Dwight Bassett mentioned, and then everyone agreed on the lack of space as being an inhibitor to bringing business in. You've all spoken with business owners, people who are looking to relocate, people who are here and possibly thinking about relocating or expanding. What are the challenges that they mention in terms of locating here, staying here, expanding here? People always talk about, Steve, you mentioned the process of the long process of getting utilities in place, but the process of approving permits is one that people talk about, taxes being relatively high, zoning being the way it is. What are the actual challenges that business owners are citing? Dwight?
So, there are two companies that were incubated in Chapel Hill that we interviewed as a part of an Innovate North Carolina grant several months ago, and I like using them. I think they're valid new reasons that we've lost small companies. They were 2 to 5 employees. Both moved to Durham, and one ended up all the way in Seattle. And so we interviewed them and asked them, give us 2 biggest barriers. One, we want to be in an office that's in a walkable district so our employees can engage in the district. And right now, today, we've had difficulty in providing that. I think with Carolina Square, it changes some, and there are other projects in the planning stage that will help change that more. But the second, which is pretty critical to me, that they both mentioned, was the supply of parking to adjacent office buildings.
Other thoughts? Meg McGurk, you're
nodding her head.
Nodding vigorously.
It is. It really is. I mean, Dina brought up the issue of having, we call it attainable office space that's flexible in lease, in size, in cost. It's not just cheap for startups. It has to have all these other kinds of flexibility, issues with them. But parking, the young millennials may be riding their bikes downtown or taking the bus and public transportation, but their clients are not necessarily. And having parking as part of that predictability factor to be able to have the space and keep businesses here, parking is a key issue.
Aaron Nelson?
Not just for startup. We have a law firm that's been in business for 15 years. They've outgrown. They need new office space. Their number one so they want downtown. Their number one standard was they wanted parking, they wanted accessible, and they wanted to be in an alive, interesting district. We can retrofit some of our districts. We can also talk about how we package and talk about them. We are in an office park today talking to you, where if you wanted, you could cross the street and do some eating. And food trucks drive by every once in a while.
I do that most days.
But that has been a challenge of this district, for example, on how we're going to make that better. And so those choices about mixing those uses and developing densely in those districts that I talked about earlier, that will be key to our solution.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more. We're talking about business climate in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County. You're listening to WCHL Community Forum. Hashtag WCHL Forum on Twitter if you want to send us a question or a comment. We'll get that on the air as well. We're back after this with more.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to the arts.
Chapel Hill is open to diversity.
To education.
To collaboration.
To transit.
To foodies.
To innovation.
To progress.
To the environment.
To light rail.
To craft brews.
To affordable housing.
To city parks.
To kids.
To connectivity.
To business.
To culture.
To green.
To smart growth.
Chapel Hill is open to family.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to you.
For more information, visit open2.biz.
Summer is rapidly approaching, and fall will be here before you know it. Need some extra courses to help you prepare for college? Need to complete your high school diploma or get a GED? Looking for training or certification to help you get that dream job? Classes begin May 16th, so visit durhamtech.edu and search summer registration. Schedule a meeting with an academic advisor who will give you access to our web registration system. You'll be amazed at the great selection of interesting courses you'll find. And get ready to do great things.
The Orange County Sheriff's Office reminds us that crime prevention is everyone's responsibility. If you observe suspicious activity taking place in your neighborhood, do not hesitate to dial 911. If you're interested in starting a community watch group in your neighborhood, please call Sergeant Butch Clark with the Crime Prevention Unit at the Orange County Sheriff's Office at 919-644-3050. That's 919-644-3050.
Welcome back to the 2016 WCHL Community Forum presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Thanks to our sponsors, Brooke Pierce, Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, Durham Tech, Jersey Mike's, Kidzoo Children's Museum, Maria Finnegan Fitness, Molly Maid of Chapel Hill, and Orange County Government. Once again, here's Aaron Keck.
We are back with the WCHL Community Forum. We're talking about business climate this hour in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County. Joined by 5 panelists, Aaron Nelson of the Chapel Hill, Carrboro Chamber of Commerce, Meg McGurk of the Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, Dina Rousset of Launch Chapel Hill and the Center for Entrepreneurial Studies at UNC, Steve Brantley, Economic Development Director for Orange County, and Dwight Bassett, Economic Development Director for the Town of Chapel Hill. We have actually gotten through some of the hours of this forum without yelling at the General Assembly, but I don't want to get through this hour without doing it. So in terms of attracting businesses to Chapel Hill or getting them to stay here, for those of you who are in those conversations with businesses, and obviously a lot of those are long-term conversations that have gone on for some time. How big of an impact are you finding House Bill 2 to be? Thoughts, Dina?
So I can just give some anecdotal comments. So last week I was in San Francisco with 12 students from UNC touring startup companies and venture capitalists out there. And every company, we visited 10 companies from LinkedIn to Carbon 3D to Proteus Health, most innovative companies in the world right now. Every company we went to, every venture capitalist we saw, even including when I went to buy my sandwich, what I heard is, North Carolina, House Bill 2, not very welcoming. Have you heard Google Ventures won't invest in anything in North Carolina? It will have a tremendous impact.
Are others having similar or not, Meg McGurk?
I think for us, what we're seeing downtown from we're talking to our hoteliers, we're talking to our businesses, we're talking to lots of UNC departments and research institutes that have a presence downtown is that it is absolutely affecting them. There are cancellations that are happening at the hotels. There are from weddings that were going to be in the future that no longer feel like they can be welcomed, from businesses that were going to be doing conferences, that we're going to be doing meetings of other professionals that are here. Sometimes it's because the people that were coming from states that are no longer allowed to travel to North Carolina because of House Bill 2. So we are seeing it. I think we're also seeing a tremendous amount of our local businesses that are coming out and being very forthright with their support of all people and being very welcoming. But there's no doubt that it is already having an economic impact.
Other thoughts? Steve Brantley.
Yesterday, someone who had just returned from 3 weeks in Europe told me that they were quite amazed and embarrassed to see the high degree of media coverage of North Carolina and House Bill 2. They were in the UK, France, and Belgium. Probably a quarter of the new investment that comes into North Carolina each year is international, and the majority of that is European. And so that House Bill 2 represents a significant threat to North Carolina's reputation, the branding, and many of the projects that the state would hope to receive, many of the projects that Orange County is trying to pitch a site for, are all at risk of being reconsidered because of this.
Dwight?
So it's really hard to measure when you're in a market the size. Steve and I were talking about this. Steve and I have been in meetings jointly since 11:30 this morning. We were talking about it earlier that sometimes it's really hard to tell. We know the impact's out there. It has to be felt because when you hear the stories that Dina told and Steve just told, we know it's out there. But unfortunately, because the tier we are on the inquiry list, we may not know because we just don't get the inquiry. I mean, there are businesses that we've been talking to, one in particular that's gone quiet right now, and we don't get an answer. We don't know. We can only assume that it's affecting because that's what we're seeing in the market.
Steve Brantley, follow up.
But I have seen both from comments from some of the state business recruiters internally, what they're working on confidentially, there's a real impact. And also what I'm seeing, the projects that we might traditionally receive on a weekly basis from the state, again, these are corporate headquarters, R&D centers, and light manufacturing, we've seen a pretty marked absence of the typical inquiries over the past several weeks now.
Aaron Nelson.
So brand and reputation mean a lot. It's one of the key things that we trade on. It's the reason you're willing to pay a little bit more to be in this market. And when we undermine and diminish that, I mean, it has huge impact. We're talking to a French company about why they ought to choose North Carolina that they'd never heard of North Carolina, right? So they know Washington, D.C., Chicago, California. So their first Googling right now is going to be showing things like this. We've had faculty decline their recruitment. We have top graduate students choosing other places. I have a retailer who sits right next to a hotel. The first week after, the guests were there and said, we thought about changing our mind about not coming, but we are glad we came. But she has seen a dry up in her retail on the street in downtown business from something like this. It's really too bad. The community is coming together. And some efforts are being made. So last week, a regional conversation about how to respond. Tomorrow will be another meeting in the morning across the triangle from economic development professionals, visitors bureaus, about what will be our response to this and how can we mind our reputation and brand.
Do you think it's going to be temporary?
I think it's more likely to be court overruled than legislative overruled, if that would be my political assessment. Remember the huge fight we have about Amendment 1, only to find out 2 years later it's unconstitutional. So I think that that we'll find the courts weighing in. I hope the legislature will resolve this before the courts do.
Meg?
I agree with Aaron, but I think that the impacts are going to be felt for 10, 20 years. The businesses that are turning down North Carolina now, that impact on the jobs, the money that it was going to bring, were actually going to be felt long in the future. And so it may be a short term. I mean, we're only, a month and a week in since House Bill 2 was passed, and we already can measure in the hundreds of millions the economic impact that it's affected, and I think it's going to affect it for a long time.
A month and a day, I think.
A month and a day, thank you.
Something like that.
Thank you.
Dwight and Dina, you were both nodding your head.
So the interesting part to me is when it comes to economic development marketing, which is slightly different than just tourism marketing, you think you're almost niche-oriented in who you're trying to appeal to. And, you know, prior to this, you know, I talked to people across the globe, and I could simply say Chapel Hill. I never had to say North Carolina. I always could just say Chapel Hill. And now every time I say Chapel Hill, there's a reference back to the news. And Meg's right. It's perception versus reality. Chapel Hill is open. We're open to diversity. We're an open and loving community. But that does not mean that the rest of the world knows, and so we have a long way to go to live down the reputation this perception has created.
Dina?
Yeah, and I would agree with Aaron. Having that conversation this morning, I think it's going to be court overturned versus legislature overturned. If it's court overturned, the impacts are long felt. If the legislature could see fit to overturn it themselves, acknowledge their mistakes, the impacts would be much shorter term.
So given that that's an additional challenge that everyone around the table is facing, what can we do in Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Orange County? And Dwight just acknowledged it's really difficult. What can we do to overcome that, Aaron Nelson?
Well, luckily we're not the first to have gone here. I was having a conversation with the Indianapolis Chamber CEO. If you remember, they did this party 18 months ago. And we talked to the folks in Mississippi, Alabama, some other states have gone this way. Is it akin to an oil spill on your beaches where you have to market that, yes, we had a problem, but now you should still come and visit us? So I think we're going to have to reach out to other communities who've taken big black eyes that diminish their competitive advantage. It's going to be expensive. It's going to cost a lot of money and human hours in trying to earn that reputation back. Some communities have tossed off their state. It is Cincinnati, USA. Their brand is, or Ann Arbor, USA. They thought Michigan's reputation was no good in the 2000s and just tossed it off entirely. And so choosing whether you ride along with your state or you really talk about the Triangle region is independent of what you think of rural North Carolina. I think we have some tough choices to make about how we're going to go at it, but the conversations are beginning. You can have confidence that the folks around this table take it very seriously and that we'll be working hard to make sure that Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Orange County don't suffer.
Is it something that's worth considering, Chapel Hill, USA?
Chapel Hill, North America. But Chapel Hill, Western Hemisphere. I mean, however you want. Northern Hemisphere. So, but seriously, most folks don't know the nuances of a community. People will pick their choices on Silicon Valley independent about what they think about California's brownouts or water problems or minimum wage or any number of things that California takes a hit on. Similar to Austin. I mean, Austin, y'all, but it's Texas, y'all. But Austin has been able to say, whatever you thought of the rest of Texas, it's not what you'll find here. And that may be where the triangle just steps out separately.
So let's turn our attention to another question, and it's one that we've touched on already kind of without necessarily hitting on specifically. When it comes to attracting businesses to Orange County, what should we be looking for? What kind of businesses do we want to attract? What kind of businesses do we not necessarily want to attract? What kind of businesses do we maybe want to attract but probably won't be able to, so shouldn't pursue? I know there's been a conversation at the Board of County Commissioners level where some members of the board say we should avoid, I think someone used the phrase, big game hunting, because the bigger businesses are going to be attracted to other parts of the triangle, even if they necessarily are looking in this region, they might be looking in other counties. So what should we be looking for, and what are dead ends for us? Dwight Bassett.
So I look at UNC and their output, and council's been working on a commercial development strategy for a year now. And, you know, I've had a belief in this community that our business community is so relatively shallow that it's hard for us to do the portion analysis where we say we've got clusters of this or clusters of that. So we look at the output of UNC, Applied Sciences Medical School, Pharmaceutical School, Bioinformatics. But, you know, if we look at the job gains from the last 5 years, probably our most significant job gains have been in technology. And so I have to believe that we continue to pursue that. I look at the startups that come out of launch and the number of that are technology affiliated or have some angle from technology. I believe those are the ones that are probably the easiest to get a yes from because they're not complicated. It's space requirement, and we've talked about what that space requirement is. So I think if we keep all of those that I just listed, that's a pretty good category for us to focus on, especially from the research that's coming out of UNC that's naturally producing opportunities for us in the future.
Steve Brantley has a paragraph of notes there, and you you also landed a really, really big manufacturer in Morinaga not that long ago, so your thoughts?
Well, speaking of Morinaga, that's clearly an example of big game hunting. But I think we have an ability to continue to pursue and win with those projects. When you see one company on 21 acres instantly become the single largest new corporate taxpayer, when you see 900 people apply for 90 advertised jobs, when this company has their official ribbon-cutting ceremony on May 26, you'll realize that those 900 people need you to keep succeeding in trying to create job opportunities, particularly in the blue-collar production area. There, I think that in general, whether it's the towns or the county, we need to leverage our business recruitment for science-based technologies. I think we need to leverage off of the strengths of UNC, whether it's the life sciences and biopharma or IT or even some of the humanities that UNC is nationally renowned for. In that sense, and I think we need to gain some of the spillover of Research Triangle Park based companies, the innovation that comes out of those knowledge based businesses. So any of that could be a research office, it could be a regional or corporate headquarters, it could be a small warehouse to support it, and it could be light manufacturing such as in aerospace or medical products or so forth.
Dina Grusay, you work with a lot of people who could be those people.
So, yeah, I mean, from the county perspective and Orange County as a whole, for these large plots of land, I agree we need to go big game hunting and bring in those larger companies. And then for these downtown districts, look at the things coming out of UNC and retain a larger portion of that. And most companies nowadays will have some tech basis, no matter what they're doing.
Aaron Nelson?
So I think we have to do concurrent things. There's a concept called blue ocean fishing. So it's two ways to figure out where there's fish. You can either go where all the boats are. Look at all those boats over there. There must be fish, right? Boats, seagulls, must be fish. So lots of people are going after gaming, bioinformatics, nanotechnology. So there's lots of competition. Come to us. The blue ocean fishing says there must be fish there because nobody else is fishing. And so what are the things that we want to go after that are not being heavily recruited, where price isn't going to be what they make their choice on? So I think national headquarters of so like AICPAs or the we have the Cleft Palate Association. So associations, white-collar job tenants that will lease space. So social sciences in the sciences, but we don't want heavy polluters. We don't want major water users. And so our manufacturing has to be a kind that's going to work in our community. Some folks say that we're ed, med, and head or bed. So ed is education, right? Med is medical. 300 jobs grown just 2 years ago in a single year at the hospital here locally. And then that bed, which is your housing and your hospitality, hotel, restaurant, retail.
And head counts as UNC, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Meg McGurk?
I would say that what everyone has said is very true for our larger community. For downtown, I think what we have to look at is some of those kind of arts and the creative class businesses that make a downtown district really unique and vibrant. And some of also the really phenomenal social justice entrepreneurs that are coming out of Launch 1789, truly coming straight out of the university and keeping them in our community, I think, is really key.
Aaron Nelson mentioned a couple of the things that we don't want in our community. We don't want businesses that are going to put a really heavy load on their infrastructure that we maybe can't handle. He mentioned heavy polluters or businesses that might be at odds with our sustainability values. What else don't we want?
Asphalt plant. I mean, some communities root a landfill as a strategy for job growth. I don't think we're actively recruiting landfill. So those things are culturally appropriate economic development, but that has been changing over time. Orange County had a very small thing that they thought was a culturally appropriate for our community. It's now much, much bigger. Many more things are more accepted. Manufacturing is now on the table, when I think for a time it wasn't.
Steve Brantley?
We want companies that are bringing technologies, full-time jobs, and benefits, health care included. And as with the candy company there, which provides all of that, we are not looking for low-tech, low-skilled production opportunities, but we're looking for those projects that really compel the employees to go to a place like Durham Tech and get state-funded training to help those individuals elevate their own personal skills. It makes them more valuable, more competitive themselves. So that can be in many different kinds of technologies, but it is what you might call the 21st century technologies.
We've got a couple more minutes left. We've got about 10 more minutes left, and I've got a few more questions to ask, but we had a really good conversation, and I want to actually just turn the floor over to you. We've got five really distinguished panelists who know a lot more about Orange County's business climate than I do. So what haven't we talked about this hour when it comes to Orange County's business climate, attracting businesses, retaining businesses, the challenges, the opportunities, what we want, what we don't want, that we haven't had a chance to talk about that people ought to know about? Dwight Bassett.
So I think the part of the story that we have failed to tell, at least in the last 8 years that I've been here, is everything that we've been doing for the last 8 years was in the end about job creation, so that your children can get an internship here, so that your children can live here, so that your children can get a job here. And now, and only now, are we at that point, as new space is built, that we can start counting the output of job creation opportunities that we can create. And talk about sustainability. When you look at the output of number of workers that leave Orange County and the number that come in, you know, as we were in Boulder for an advanced inner city visit a couple of weeks ago. Astoundingly, Boulder imports 60,000 workers per day to meet their workforce demand. If we could even get to the point where we're balancing our workforce demand so that every person in Orange County that wanted to work had an opportunity to work, we'd be far outpacing. And so job creation is the driver behind everything that we've had in this conversation to me today.
We're going to have this conversation in September when the Boulder visit actually happens. But what in Boulder creates 60,000 jobs over and above?
It's fascinating. We're going to learn all about Boulder, Colorado is a very interesting market.
Twitter, Google. I mean, the number of companies there. There's a large federal research facility there. I mean, but they, you know, the other side of that is they've been creating jobs since the 50s. You can mark it down on their calendar. They've been doing it since the 50s. They've been allowing significant commercial tax base since the 50s. So it's a much different learnable lesson for us for the future.
How many people here at this table did not just get back from Boulder a few days ago? Stephen, Dina, and me, and that was it? Okay.
Your organizations were represented. So for those of you listening, every other year we take up to 100 folks to another college town and learn some lessons, both things that they did that they're really pleased with and bad choices they made as well over the last decade or two. And Boulder, Colorado will be our location in late September. It will be really interesting to see how a community thrives when housing prices. So our average cost is $370,000. Theirs is $825,000.
Wow.
And so in a market where a split-level 1950s ranch is $900,000, how do you recruit talent? How do you keep things from moving to Denver? So lots of analogs for us.
Steve Brantley.
Don't think we really touched upon the importance of small business. Small business creates half of the jobs in the country, and certainly in Orange County here, they're vital to our local economy. We really didn't touch upon the value of agriculture and agribusiness and food processing and the food systems in the community, and even our artists would raise their hand and say that they contribute a lot to not only the culture but to jobs and revenue. So there's an undercurrent of the economy that is doing well, and they deserve that praise.
And I know if Lori Policelli was here, she'd be talking about tourism.
That's right.
Right. I know, Aaron, you had a point, but follow up on agriculture. As economic development director for the county, what do you do to boost the agriculture economy in Orange County?
Pretty amazing statistics to see the number of farms and acreage in production today versus 15, 20 years ago, but especially to see the dollar value of agricultural products that are brought to market today versus 15 or 20 years ago. And so at the county level here, the county and the commissioners support an annual agricultural summit. We have the food processing facility in Hillsborough called the Piedmont Food and Agricultural Center. June 4th is the annual Farm to Fork event. There's even going to be a first ever polo charity that is coming here on the same day, June 4th, in the northern Cedar Grove part of Orange County there. And we have the Breeze Farm where you can go and learn how to farm. We're forming or assisting people to form an Orange County Food Council. And then, of course, you have all of the connection of the local produce and farmers with the farmers markets and with Whole Foods and Weaver Street, and particularly Weaver Street.
Aaron Nelson?
So that's what I wanted to speak to, is that what we've not talked about here is some major credit deserved to our elected officials. There's been a sea change in the attitude of our elected officials in this community over the last decade. It is Orange County's county commissioners choosing to invest in the 11,000-square-foot Piedmont Food PFAP. It's the Orange County commissioners choosing to dedicate half of a half cent on the sales tax to the infrastructure to finally, after 20 years, extending the infrastructure. It's the Chapel Hill Town Council proving now millions of square feet of commercial and office and retail space and the housing that's going to be needed to support it. It's our government choosing to invest in launch in equal parts from our university and our county and our municipality to continue to support Meg's organization and to make sure that our downtown is getting what it needs and allowing changes to happen. We took some trees out of downtown that I didn't think would ever be allowed, and make it such a better place. You can see some of the building. We're making some good choices. And so praising the elected officials for taking some risk in a community generally opposed to economic development because they had their periscope up high enough. They were looking downfield and saw that we needed to make change or we were going to end up like a place we weren't going to like very much. And I think they deserve some credit for helping make this a fertile ground. Of course, they don't create the jobs, but they can create, they can help fertilize a field so the stuff can grow. And I think they've been doing a good job of that lately.
Meg McGurk, you and I had the most local radio moment in the world last week, and we were talking about, oh, yeah, that one tree that still needs to come out on Rosemary Street. So it's still left to go. But what haven't we talked about this hour?
Well, I mean, I just would back up what we're saying. You know, when Steve was talking about agriculture in Orange County being a good base of the economic growth for our future, that trickles down to the fact that we have, we do food so well here, and we value local food. It's the local James Beard award-winning chefs that are shopping at our local farmers market for the meals that they're cooking that night. I mean, it is really kind of a ecosystem when we talk about the value of economic development in Orange County and how it all kind of works together. I think also the arts and the creative class is just really important when we talk about supporting local businesses. That is, and again, fact-checking, I know that if Kristen Smith was here, she would call me out on it, whether this was true or not. But I've heard that we have the most artists per capita in Orange County than any other county in North Carolina. And that's in our galleries, that's in our art walks, that's very evident in our arts festivals. And those are huge economic drivers. They're now, when we talk about the billions of dollars that are spent through the arts in Orange County, it is just tremendous, and I think that's an area that we should also all focus on.
I think you have to have written a novel in order to live in Hillsborough.
That's exactly right, yeah.
It doesn't have to have been published.
It has been published in something or other, right. We got a couple minutes left. University, I'll give you the last word.
Quickly, so also I think it's important to note the role that UNC plays, not only in investing themselves in the work around innovation and entrepreneurship and economic development, but then the role that they play in bringing in outside donors. I think a lot of people don't know that about 35% of our budget at launch comes from a private donor, out of Baltimore who is choosing to invest in economic development in our community, and the university can continue to do that along with the direction of the town and county.
It's been a great conversation. We've got to wrap it up there. Thanks again to Dwight Bassett, Steve Brantley, Dina Rousset, Meg McGurk, and Aaron Nelson for all of your comments this hour. If you're listening out there, you can revisit this conversation later on our website, chapelboro.com. We'll have it up there. Or you can listen to it again on WCHL. We're going to be re-airing the forum over the course of the next couple of weeks. This hour is only a portion of the 10-hour WCHL Community Forum. Thanks again to all of our panelists, all the people who are working behind the scenes to make it happen. All of our sponsors, our presenting sponsor, Chapel Hill Economic Development, represented this hour by Dwight Bassett, who is joined us here as well. We got a lot more to come on the WCHL Community Forum, so stay tuned here and on our website, chapelboro.com. Much, much more from the Community Forum for the rest of the day.
This year's WCHL Community Forum has been presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Thanks again to our sponsors, Brooke Pierce, Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, Durham Tech, Jersey Mike's, Kidzoo Children's Museum, Maria Finnegan Fitness, Molly Maid of Chapel Hill, and Orange County Government.
Hi, I'm Dwight Bassett with Chapel Hill Economic Development, and we're thrilled to be the presenting sponsor for this year's WCHL Community Forum. The Economic Development Office works to attract and retain businesses and jobs in locations convenient to transit and housing, all in an effort to build a sustainable economy in which to live, work, and play. Chapel Hill is open to business and open for business every day of the year. Follow us on Twitter at @CHEconDev. Chapel Hill, right on the edge of the triangle.
Hi, this is Don Rice, owner of the Molly Maid in Chapel Hill. The thought-provoking conversations taking place today on WCHL represents what this community is all about. The panelists are committed to making our community great, just like we are at Molly Maid. For 18 years, our family has been serving yours. My wife, Kathy, and I are proud to employ almost 40 people, doing our small part to keep our community vibrant and, of course, clean. As we support WCHL Community Forum, we hope you'll support our locally owned business by visiting us at mollymaid.com.
Ready to try something new this summer? Check out stand-up paddleboard yoga and fitness with Maria Finnegan Fitness. SUP yoga and SUP fitness classes are offered throughout the Triangle. Maria offers both indoor and outdoor sessions with summer classes beginning in June. Monthly classes as well as private bookings are available. This is a great idea for team building and corporate events. To learn more about SUP yoga and fitness, please visit mariafinnegan.com or email maria@mariafinnegan.com.
Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership is proud to sponsor the WCHL Community Forum. The conversations of the forum aim to inform and empower community members, and as downtown's economic development leader, we strive to do the same for the downtown business community. Downtown offers a thriving local arts and cultural community, boasts world-renowned dining, and serves as the gathering spot for young and old. To learn more, head online and visit www.downtownchapelhill.com.
This is Charlie Ferris, owner-operator of Jersey Mike's Subs on Elliott Road and Chapel Hill North. After 5 years, friends often ask if I'm sick of subs yet. The honest truth is no, and I don't think I'll ever tire the best sub sandwich on the planet. But I do have a secret. You can get any one of our mouth-watering subs on a salad. We call it our sub in a tub, and these range from the fresh and light turkey provolone to the protein-packed original Italian. We just leave out the roll and stack your favorite meats and cheeses on a bed of crisp veggies. Come try one today at Jersey Mike's Subs.
WCHL thanks the Town of Chapel Hill's Economic Development Office for presenting our 2016 Community Forum. The Economic Development Office works to attract and retain businesses and jobs in locations convenient to transit and housing, all in an effort to build a sustainable economy in which to live, work, and play. Chapel Hill is open for business, open to business every day of the year. Follow them on Twitter at @CHEconDev. That's @CHEconDev. Economic Development in Chapel Hill, right on the edge of the Triangle.
Table steps in to bridge the gap and provide healthy emergency food aid every week to hungry school-aged children living in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. On Saturday, April 30th, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., Table will be hosting their annual food truck rodeo to raise awareness and funds for their weekend meal backpack program. Please join them for a fun-filled family afternoon and help Table provide for hungry children living in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, North Carolina. Go to tablenc.org and visit the events calendar for further details.